Hello, welcome to Mod Midwives, a Metro Midwifery podcast. I'm Gina Gerbach.
And I'm Nedra Hale, and we are home birth midwives serving the Denver metro area.
Well, are you freezing today or what?
I am actually really warm right now because the heater is like on constantly because it's, well, last time I looked, it was negative 6 degrees. I'm sure it's a little warmer.
So crazy. Our hot water in our kitchen wasn't working this morning. We think the drain pipe was frozen.
Oh no.
But it's working now. I guess we put a space heater on it. By we, I mean not me.
Right.
Somebody else dealt with it and it's working now.
So I'm actually sitting here in a tank top, which is not characteristic of me. I usually have the house pretty cool and then I'm wearing a sweater, but
yeah, it's we are really not cold on outside. Webcam because I think you don't need to see me in my pajamas Saturday morning. So today is Valentine's Day. I don't think we have any Valentine's related, you know.
No, I'm just like a Valentine's Day Scrooge. So I'm just like avoiding all of my sour social media posts today.
I'm not a Scrooge about it, but I also just don't. It's not my holiday. My birthday is 10 days before Valentine's Day, and my birthday is like a big deal to me. So mm-hmm. I don't have any more oomph left in me for Valentine's Day, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My husband did get me chocolate covered strawberries. So.
Oh, yum. That sounds really good. I should get myself some of those.
From Whole Foods, you could probably order it on Fresh.
Yeah. I was going to order myself some dark chocolate and I didn't get around to it yet because I'm not eating any of the, you know, I got my kids a C's box and I'm not eating any of that stuff. So, but I was going to get myself some
anything, dark chocolate. But my husband got everybody a card. So
we're
going to call that he gets to do Valentine's Day then. Like, you know, I do most of the holidays. So.
Even when I was married, I didn't like Valentine's Day. It's just like an obligatory.
It feels like, made up and
it's
like.
It's made up. It's like. And then you like have to be sappy and like it's just and like
for my birthday week we ate out so much so I don't want to eat out again, like I don't even want to go out to dinner or anything.
No, but I do make an attempt to be a good mother and like, you know, I bought them a box of chocolate and they are out there eating the chocolate and
while we do the podcast. Well, I did not even do that. I really could go for like a steak though, but it's way too cold to, and his steaks are better than ordering like a special dinner would be nice, but it's way too cold to barbecue tonight.
Oh way good lord, no way.
Like it's just not even, not even a realistic possibility. So
no.
Well, today we're going to bring you another episode of Practical Advice for Midwifery Practice, and we're going to talk about naming your birth business. So we're including doula businesses and all of that in here because a lot of times student midwives start off as doulas, and your name could predate your midwifery practice to some degree.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So what has your, I know we've both had a number of different practices over the years. So tell me about your evolution of.
Well, I always like alliteration. So my own practices are always like that. So Milestone Midwifery was my first one in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And we have Metro Midwifery now, which is like, it works for me.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned it. It was in, when we were talking about our name, it was part of the things that we like about names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where I always start is like a list of H words that could go with home birth or a list of M words that could go with midwifery. But
I see a lot of B names too for just birth, I think.
Yeah, that would work too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cause it's, you know, I love it when people figure out how to have their doula business, like just evolve into their midwifery business. And it's the same name. I think that's a lovely idea. So obviously having it be midwifery or home birth wouldn't work, but birth would.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is that even when you're, even when you're licensed at first and practicing as a midwife, you're often still taking doula clients because just for income and renting out your practice. So I know I did. My first was Safe Passage Birth Services. Birth Services was my first one. So not alliterated at all. And a little too long. I think length should be considered. But I wanted to evoke like a confidence in my name. So I think that's the next thing to think about is what do you want your name to convey? Like what's your, you know, your basic image that you want to come through? And so I wanted kind of safety and confidence to be in there.
And plus it says passage, which is very vaginal.
It's very vaginal. But that does bring me to another point is that you don't want to get too vaginal with your birth services name.
It's true.
It's just too much. Like, I think it's too, you have to think about who's, you know, who's watching or, you know, who's scrolling through names or looking through search results. And if it's too much, there will be a certain population that's kind of put off by that a little bit.
Right. I think that comes down to, I mean, I've always tried to just have neutral everything because I just want to appeal to a broad, you know, spectrum of people. But if you choose a name that's particularly out there, it's, you'll still attract people. It'll just be like a niche, right?
Right. And so that's a totally legitimate way to go. Mm-hmm. I feel like we, both in our private practices and then in our partnership, I feel like we've always had a variety of clients.
Yeah.
You know, from a variety of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So I never felt like I wanted anybody to feel, what's the word? Like, I just wanted it to feel welcoming to everybody, I think.
Yeah. Alienated, anything like that, you know, it's,
Yeah. Totally. Which is, does bear, we should spend a minute talking about gendered language, because there is a big awareness and highlight right now on being mindful that not all birthing people are women. And so, thinking about whether you want gendered language in your name or not, you know, thinking about that is important too.
That's good.
So I personally, you know, and I think you have to think about what you're attracted to in a name or repelled by in a name. And I personally don't like anything that sounds too flowery, because to me that doesn't convey competence. And I'm not saying being flowery means you're not competent. I'm just saying it's not the image that comes
for you. Yeah, it doesn't say that to you.
Right.
It's in it. I mean, I think that most of the names of midwifery businesses are probably flowery or birth businesses.
For like, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you probably aren't as, that's probably not as big of a deal for you as it is for me.
No, but I do get tired of certain trends of names. And I'm just going to be really careful not to say that.
I know, because we know people with the names.
And if but there's so many business names that sound almost exactly the same. And they're all like, you know, having to do with the beauty of birth or organic or, you know, just like things that are just like kind of stereotypical.
Yeah.
Home birth names, midwifery names, natural birth names. And it's so like, I even knowing these people don't always remember which one is which.
Right. they all kind of fall into the same blur of names.
Yeah, which is okay, but it's not distinctive. So,
well, and I think you need to think about who you're appealing to more than just like left or right or conservative or crunchy, you know, which I think is what I bet people are thinking we're talking about.
Right, right.
We actually could be talking about, you know, extreme extremely crunchy. I don't know what the word is, but extremely alternative minded people on one end of the spectrum. And we could be talking about physicians on the other side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. We have physicians and nurses and, you know, very specialized medical professionals in our practice as clients. And so I think that you want to think about what, you know, what, how is this sitting with a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds? You know, we could have a yoga teacher and then their appointment can be followed by a NICU nurse. And not to say that those things are mutually exclusive, which is exactly why you don't want to have a name that only appeals to one or the other, because I think it sets up the false dichotomy if you do.
Agreed.
So yeah. And I think if you get too, flowery is the only word I can come up with, but too, I don't know.
Touchy-feely.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you are going to possibly lose a little bit of credibility.
Yeah.
Also, I do not like cutesy names.
Mm-hmm.
I
do sometimes, but not with birth practices, you know, birth businesses necessarily, but I know we're always like, when we're driving around, when we used to drive in the same car together, I remember like I would giggle at like pun business names, and find them very distasteful.
I would like choose another business.
Yes.
Like it would intentionally turn me away. I don't like puns, and I really don't like things intentionally misspelled. Like, really don't like. So, like, there's a million businesses called Kids Corner. Like,
yes,
it could be daycare or children's shops. I see it all the time. But yeah. Where it's KIDZKORNER.
Right.
By the way, do be careful of alliterated K's. That's just a problem.
Oh, yeah. That's bears some consideration.
So, yeah, I can't with those kind of things. It just is too much for me. I also used my name in a midwifery practice. For a long time, I was just Gina Gerbath Midwifery Care. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's some advantages to that in terms of SEO or search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to talk about that. I mean, I think you probably are more knowledgeable about search engine optimization than I am.
Oh my gosh. I just had a big meeting about SEO
last
week that blew my mind. Like, I just like had no idea, but I won't get into that because it will take 2 hours. But mm-hmm. I was just like, whoa.
We'll put SEO as its own topic later for sure.
Yes. I've seen a few midwives do the same thing. And I think you're right. It's great because you're going to get referred, you know, from word of mouth referrals by your name and not by your business name. And so people are going to type in your name into the search engine. And as many times as you can have your name be used in your website or, you know, Gina Gerbath midwife, you know, things like that. It's going to make that organic result pop up higher. Mm-hmm. And so it's great for that. I think that's a great choice, and it's really straightforward too.
And it, I think it builds your own brand to some degree. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what we're talking about is your brand, you know,
yeah.
What is your brand? And I think that when your brand is you, that's mm-hmm. a strong presence.
Yeah.
My name is unfortunate. It would have been better with another name. we have a student with a really great name who is, we were talking about this and I was like, I feel like I would use your name because it's such a good name for, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's just a strong name and it looks really good. But the limitation of using your name is that adding a partner later is a problem.
Right. Or if your name changes.
Right.
But if
I got divorced, there's zero chance I could change my name.
Right.
I have so much. I just have to be Gerbath forever, even though it's my married name.
Yeah. There's this person I follow who is, you know, one of those business gurus, and she did this big thing where she changed her name because she got divorced, and I totally, you know, would do the same thing, but still to this day, I still don't know who it is. Whenever she posts, I'm like, who is that? Oh, it's that person. That
you have to think through it every time.
Yes.
Yeah. I suppose it's really awkward to keep your ex-husband's name and then get remarried. And
Yes, and that's what happened. Like, she got divorced and got remarried, and yeah, so something needed to be done.
I mean, that would be a problem. As we're telling that story, I was like, oh, that would only work if you never got married again.
Yes.
Which, A, I'm not getting divorced, and B, if I did get divorced, I would never get married again, I can guarantee
you. Yes.
But yes, if you did want to get married again, that would be a problem. The more the more hits that you, when somebody searches for you, the more hits they have, the more you're going to just start from scratch with that. And that stuff takes years to build. That's the advantage of being an experienced midwife, is that over time your name gains credibility.
Yeah.
Definitely. Good. So let's talk about, take it back to branding a little bit. If, you know, you should think when you pick your business name about things like the URL of your website, your social media handle, and you need to do a little bit of research about this. So this is so easy. You go to Google and you Google the name and see what comes up. And if a lot of stuff comes up, don't use that name.
Right.
Because you'll never...
You want to know like what else is already associated with that name. I've had it like that I've Googled something and they didn't have the same name necessarily, but there were associated businesses that were just like, whoa, I don't want to be associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go to like WordPress or GoDaddy or something and like search for the domains and make, you know, see if somebody's already got it. So that's what I do. I always start with the domain search. And then if somebody has it, then I go and find out what that is and looks like. And then Google searches and all of that.
Yeah. And I would highly recommend that you just abandon the name if you have to put a weird character in your domain.
Mm-hmm.
So people will not remember a hyphen or a dash or a one or a 12, you know, they just won't. And so if you want your name to be memorable, you know, if you want to be able to say, you can find us at metromidwifery.com, that's all that people can remember. They can't remember the special things.
Right.
That's a really important, and we actually had this funny dilemma of naming our podcast too. So we had to name our business name and then we had to name our podcast. And that was an interesting process too, because we didn't want it to be exactly the same thing, but we didn't want it to be so different that it had to kind of fit in brand too. Mm-hmm. So Mod Midwives kept the alliteration, it kept the focus on midwifery, and it kept the focus on kind of credibility and modernity, I guess is the best word for it. I mean, mod. Even though mod evokes a retro feel too, but
no, mod is like my favorite word these days.
Yeah. Right. So so you have to think about that. Are there other things? Do you have a do you do placenta encapsulation? Do you sell products? Some people do like handmade products or art or belly casting, or you know, what ancillary services are you offering?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to fit into your brand too?
Yeah, that's good.
We actually, strangely, when we started with our naming process, we did some searches and we found there was nothing really Metro Midwifery out there. There is a Metropolitan OB in Denver, which I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Metropolitan Birth Services or something like that in another state, but it wasn't midwifery. It was like doulas, it was a doula practice. So then we picked Metro Midwifery. We established the name with the Secretary of State and all of that. And, you know, we didn't do a Secretary of State search.
Yeah.
And then a midwife that we know sent a message and she says, oh, that used to be my business name. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We didn't do the history. You know, we didn't go back into the, because she had left Denver 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I felt really bad about it. And she said, no, I'm really happy for you to use it. I mean, we can use it, but you don't want to feel like you're taking somebody else's name.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So a Secretary of State search would be a really good idea for your state, just to make sure, even though there's not something active out there, you know, website wise or something that you.
Because, and we're proud to be associated with her, and she's happy to have us associated with her name. Mm-hmm. But what if that wasn't the case?
Right.
Like, what if there was a big problem, you know, history there or something like that?
Yeah.
So we were really lucky. She also actually alerted me to the hidden meaning of metro, which we didn't know about. We just liked the, you know, it felt, we were working in the city where, you know, it felt modern and all of that, and up to date. And she pointed out that metro, the Greek root of metro, actually means womb or uterus or mother. So it actually has, that's, and what you think about it, the metropolitan area is like the womb of the city. So I felt like that was great. We learned something about the name, but do think about like kind of the hidden or background meanings of your name.
Yeah. It's a really good idea.
Yeah. So anyway, so we did have a little bit of a stumble with our name, but it turned out to be fine, but it could have been a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And rebranding is a big deal. It's a big deal. There's a lot of work to be done. You lose all of your SEO progress that you've made. Mm-hmm. You have to do new logos. You have to do all kinds of work to rename your business. So it's really good to just figure this out at the outset. Mm-hmm. What else would you add?
I don't know. I think just awareness of who's around in your state. Even if you've got a name that is unique, you know, I would just be really careful to make sure that you know everybody and that you aren't like close to somebody's name. And, you know, cause you just, again, people get confused about who's who, you know, so you just don't want to be stepping on toes.
Just kind of rude. It's just kind of rude.
You want to be friendly to your our community is small, you know, you want to really be friends with your community as much as you can. So,
and even if you, I would say to look into the US, because even if you don't have anybody in your state with the same name, you might move and want to keep your brand. You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily, I would even expand out a little bit, because it's a small community, even in the whole country.
That's true.
And then also maybe one other thing I would say is to avoid cliches or trite. So for example, it's so hard. We are so treading on thin ice to talk about things that, because we know and love people with names that we would maybe not have an affinity for. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of cliches in birth work. So just try to avoid cliches. Mm-hmm. I mean, a butterfly is a cliche.
Yeah, I know. All the things I like, mm-hmm. butterflies and dragonflies and purple.
I do have logo regret. I wish we had not gone with purple. I love it.
It's so nice. I love the purple.
I wish we had done navy blue. Also, navy was the Pantone color of the year for 2019.
Really?
Like, we would have been on the...
It would have been cutting edge.
I know.
But so purple is the color of the midwife.
Yes. It is. And we knew that. We knew that going into it. We deliberately chose it.
Yes.
But I do have a little color regret. And I love navy so much. I just love navy. You're like lukewarm. So see, it was never going to work. I should just put that aside. But designing your logo should be a part of your thought process with your name. Think about what it's going to look like. It could just be words. It could have an image. It could have all kinds of things, but just watch out for, you just don't want it to look like everybody else's. You want to look unique.
Right. There's a lot of logos with pregnant bellies, butterflies, hearts in the belly.
Hearts.
Yes.
Speaking of Valentine's Day and hearts, one of my favorite, I can't remember what it was on, but somebody was like, you know, women never pick heart jewelry for themselves.
Oh it's my gosh.
Such a,
it's so true.
It's such a thing. Your kids and your partner will get you, yes, heart jewelry, but it's never something we pick for ourselves.
No way.
Yeah. Or the little hands. We're not on Instagram or we're not on YouTube, but the little hands shaped in a heart. It's a lot.
And babies in the belly. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all natural places to go, right? But they're just like really used.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We just embraced sleep deprivation with our logo. It's about being in the city at night.
Yeah. We could, like, our next logo could be like an icy mountain road.
We are right at the 1 year anniversary of that fateful birth. Going up the mountain and not making it in time.
Yes.
Yeah. That's absolutely. So yeah. So your name and your logo should, you know, they should be in synchrony. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's all I really wanted to cover. This is not meant to be a critique of existing logos. This is meant to be food for thought. And if you do happen to have one of the more trendy logos, just it's we're doing you a favor by keeping fewer people from.
Yeah. I mean, I've had businesses with, I mean, the pregnant belly. I mean, it's cute. So it's just
The thing is, I'm an early adopter and I'm not a trendsetter. So I'm not the person that thinks of it first, but I think of it early and then I have regret. I mean, even with my kids' names, I have a Liam. Mm-hmm. Liam is so trendy and I never saw that coming. So, you know, you do want to kind of think about the trends and what's happening.
True.
And even your colors, even your, your Pantone 2019 color of the year. anyway, all right, well, next we're gonna do two podcasts today. So next week we will be back with home birth and cultural norms. So have a great week. Follow us on social at Metro Midwifery or www.metromidwifery.com, or you can go directly to the podcast page at www.modmidwives.com. So have a great week, everybody. Stay warm.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.